From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to this special part of Postcard from Paul Proud, where, as I promised you, politicians don't change stuff, bankers don't change stuff. Actually, in most cases, big business doesn't change stuff. It's actually real people doing real things for 2012 to actually enhance their own lives. And as I said last week, we're having this new feature, which is people making a difference for 2012. Can I welcome to Postcard from Pop Prad the lovely Fee Stewart? Hello.
Hello, Eric.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
You're not a little bit nervous there, are you?
Not at all.
You sure? Because I can be nervous for both of us.
Okay, you be nervous for both of us then.
Right. So, Fee, let's start off by finding out and telling the listeners who you are.
Well, I'm Fee Stewart. I'm a mum of three. My oldest being 16 and who is at college now. My youngest is 7. And
that means you're a busy mum.
I am a busy mum, yeah. And I decided that I wanted a career now that my children are a bit older. So I've gone and retrained.
But didn't you have some kind of homework or job that you were doing before children? There must have been life before children.
Oh, yes, there was life before children. I've always been in the art world a bit. I trained as a fine artist and also before that a graphic designer.
Ooh. Does that mean you're a Michelangelo type?
Not at all, no.
What does fine art mean then?
Well, I did fine art painting and printing. So it was painting on canvases, yes, a bit like Michelangelo, but not half as good as Michelangelo.
So was it because you got bored at home or were you genuinely driven to get something new to do?
Bit of both, actually. I'd been at home for 16 years while I've been bringing up my children. And I was just fed up of being at home on my own and really wanted to get back out into the workplace and feel that I'd achieved something and done something useful outside of just being a mum.
Yeah, but that presents one major problem, of course, that even though the kids are growing up, mum's still on call 24/7.
She is, but I have a very supportive partner, so
I actually saw an article in the newspaper about that, Fee, where they reckoned if mum got paid all that she was due in terms of wages, she would earn £250,000 a year.
If not more, Eric.
Yes.
If more. We're worth our weight in gold, I think.
Well, probably to today's money. Well, yeah, that's probably right. Yeah. You decided to make a change for you. That was the important thing.
Yes, I did, yeah.
And was it, can I be rude and say, was it just financial? Was it just an opportunity to do something? What was the motivation? Why did you want to change?
The motivation is both, really. I think it's quite hard to get back out as a mum into the workplace, especially when you haven't been out at a job for a long time. Wanted to do something that I really enjoyed doing as well. So having sort of followed an art path most of my life, it had to be something to do with that. So I looked around and found a course and have started retraining to do video games, actually.
Right, okay. Let's just keep me coughing quietly in the background. Because number one, you're changing the rules because mum doesn't want to be bored at home anymore. And then number two, you're going in what is known as a male-dominated world. Or is that wrong?
No, it's a very male-dominated world. There's not many of us girls in it. We could do with some more.
You're looking for comrades, right? Right, anybody out there listening who wants to get into games, we'll put you in touch with Fee. That's the answer to that one.
Yeah.
Right. And you're in this male-dominated world. Are you looking to have your... Is it kind of something where you'd have your own business or are you going to go working for somewhere in the traditional way? What's the game plan?
Well, I'm not 100% sure what the game plan is at the moment. I'm working at a studio called Radiation Burn in Middlesbrough at the moment.
Hang on, whoa, backtrack. You're working... How did that happen?
Well, the course that I'm on actually provides work placements. this is through them that I was given the opportunity to go on work placement, and I am still there at the moment. I've been there nearly 4 months now.
Well, actually, that's quite clever, because you, if you'd have gone straight into a workplace after not being at work for 16 years, that'd have been quite dramatic, I would have thought. Whereas doing it this way, it's a little bit more gentle.
It is more gentle, definitely. I wouldn't have said that it was that much easier. I mean, you are expected to work very hard, just like you would be if you'd gone, you know, for a proper job. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, any easier by going on work placement, but it certainly gives you a very good insight as to what the job involves and the people in the industry. And it's very exciting. Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Good. And so, okay, you're on your course. So presumably you do this at college, right?
No, it's a home learning course. So I do it at home.
So how does one fit that in around horrible kids screaming, "Mom, I want my tea"?
Well, I'm quite fortunate in that, you know, my oldest is 16 and at college. My other middle one is 14 and at school. And my little one is 7 and also at school. So during the school hours, that's when I study.
Oh, right, I get it. And what are you doing? Sorry, what was the name of the company again?
It's called Radiation Burn.
Radiation Burn?
It is, yes. It's a games company.
Well, I suppose it's got to be funky then, hasn't it?
It has,
yeah. Yep. So what do you do for Radiation Burn?
Well, I'm training to be a games artist, so mm-hmm. I make all the art assets that go into video games. So I'm learning...
Okay, look, we've got Lee and Mark on this programme. They won't understand what games assets are.
Okay, well, when you play a video game, Eric,
yes.
You have various art styles, different art styles in different games, obviously, uh-huh. And all the models and everything are made in... special programs that you have to learn to make the models of the characters or the environment, anything that you see within a video game.
Ah, so when I'm using my Wii and man gets into the racing car that I play sometimes, that character is what you would do.
Yes, the character or the car or the environment that you see.
Oh, can I have a McLaren car then?
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be worth quite as much as a real one though.
Right, and so you're doing all that up there. What sort of things are you working on at the moment?
Well, we've just released a game that was actually made in 2010 and won the Old Spice Challenge Award. That's been released on the iPad now, and it's called Newton versus the Horde. It's due also to go out on WiiWare this month.
Is it?
You can download it and have a play.
Oh, what's it about?
Well, it's a physics game. So you actually, you have to fight all these monsters.
Mm-hmm.
You defend yourself against these monsters and squash them and splat them. And but you have to use physics to make the traps and things.
That's all right. I was into physics when I was at school. I suppose.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I'm into physics and splatting. That works for me. So what's the name of the game? Give it a shameless plug.
It's called Newton versus the Horde. And you can find it at radiationburn.net.
Right.
So if you go there and there's links to the various downloads from that page.
And it's going to be on the Wii platform?
Yeah, it's going to be on WiiWare at the end of this month.
Yes. Very quickly to wrap up, where do you see this taking you in the long-term fee? And what message would you give to other mums sitting at home doing probably what you were doing and getting totally bored?
Well, don't give up. Think about what you'd like to do and go out there and do it. It's not, you know, there's no age limit. There's no anything, you know, to do with sex or anything. Yes, I've gone into a male environment world, but so what? You know, all the guys have been great. They've been lovely. Just work hard, decide what you want to do and go for it. Where I see myself, I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm striving to try and do good things. So I hope either, you know, I'll start up on my own or I'll get a job.
Or Radiation Burn, even.
Yeah, well, you never know.
You never know. There's one, you've been slightly remiss here, having plugged shamelessly Radiation Burn a lot. What course is it that you're actually doing? Because we don't know.
Well, I'm on the Train to Game Art and Animation course, which is a 3-year course, or designed to be 3 years, which you do at home, and at the end of it, you get a Tiger Diploma.
Which means?
Well, it's the equivalent to 2 years at university, so it's sort of around about an HND qualification.
Well, listen, I can only say congratulations to you, because you've broken the mould in so many ways, and obviously continuing to break in the mould. What do the kids think of Mum being in the gaming world, by the way?
Absolutely mega cool.
Mega cool?
Good, I have really good street cred.
That's not bad for a mum with teenagers, for goodness sake.
I think they're all quite shocked, actually, when the children tell their friends that Mum makes video games. It's like, wow!
Okay. Yeah, and a million requests for games for free, I'm sure, as well. Absolutely. Look, Fee, I wish you all the best with it, because it's wonderful, and it's lovely to hear a mum's just going, no, I'm going to do something I want to do.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Get out there, do something different, and enjoy what you do. Life's too short, so get out there. You know, you don't have to sit at home doing nothing. Retrain, or, you know, go and get a job, or what it is you want to do. So, yeah, go do it.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome back after that wonderful little conversation with Fee Stewart. Fee, thank you so much indeed. It just goes to prove that it doesn't matter. If you want to go and do something, you can do it, can't you, Lee?
Well, that's right. I admire her for the way she's presented herself. And I'd like to say, even though she's called Fee, she didn't get a fee. No. She did that out of the guts of the art to present the way.
Oh, dear.
It is right. That is what people need to do. We have all this awfulness going on at the moment across the world. It's not just in Britain. I know I bang on about Britain. But people like me are actually getting off there, to use an old Mancunian phrase, BTMs,
yes,
and going out and doing something for themselves and for the families.
I think she's doing more than the Prime Minister of England, to be quite honest.
Well, I think people can go on to have some second
career. At least she's not destroying the country.
Really, really courageous, and I think it's also very exciting in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I genuinely believe it's people that will make the difference in 2012, not the politicians, as David Cameron kind of indicates. I applaud his Be Positive in 2012, that I like. But I still maintain it's going to be down to people like Fee Stewart, who say, damn this, I'm going to go and make a difference. I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah, I think that's quite right. Yeah,
and I think a little ripple of applause for young Fee Stewart as well. There you go. Thank you very much indeed, Fee.
Do I hear a ripple?
We do have a ripple. It's a very good little ripple as well. Moving along, Fergie faces 22 years in Turkish prison.
Well, that's a bit of a funny thing, isn't it? What do we say about that? Does she deserve it or not?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think
well, because if she does, deserve this, Lee, you've got to be so careful here, mate. If she does deserve it, then everything we've been hearing in the Leveson thingy means the opposite to what the journalists are saying is the fact.
Well, it's a different thing, isn't it? Because it's just a different way. It's happened in a different place. But the thing is, this again, I believe this is really more or less a Jeremy Clarkson thing that's happening. Fergie's being picked on this. I'm not the greatest respecter of the Duchess of York.
No, this is nothing to do with it. If it was in England, everybody would be citing public interest. And I think there is a public interest. She went and did some clandestine filming in an orphanage in Turkey.
Yes.
Turkey, incidentally, is meant to be a sort of a modern semi-Islamic state that's trying to get admission to the European Union,
mm-hmm,
and wants to show that it's part of our group. And unfortunately, and of course, they're not the only country that's had these problems. They're running orphanages probably with very scarce resources. And Fergie's film showed that there were these tremendously sad children who'd been abandoned for one reason or another by their parents and were being tied to their beds for most of the day and were in a shocking state, and it was exposed. And I don't think it's a Clarkson thing at all. I think the Turkish government is embarrassed, and I think it's damn right that they're embarrassed.
Sometimes you're a bit quick to jump, Mark, because what I was saying, it has been blown out of all proportion. The actual, if she committed a crime, Sarah Ferguson, if she actually went in there and filmed clandestinely, that's fine. What I was saying is that this has been blown up out of all proportion by somebody who's got an axe to grind or a point to make. Quite rightly, any journalist, and I'm not saying Fergie is, but she was working with a journalistic team over there, mm-hmm. has the right to take a chance on finding out what the truth is. And that's what happened here. I don't think for a second that Fergie is actually facing 22 years in jail for this. I think that is where the story's been flammed up and made out and taken out of all proportion. That's all I'm saying.
That's certainly true, but I think
Mark, can you move a little bit closer to your microphone, Jack?
Sorry, we need to sort of divert the attention to this, to these ongoing conditions in Turkey and other countries. Mm. And the more we discuss,
and what about Britain? We have exactly the same thing happening
and
in
if
Britain.
We've got it.
Plenty of journalists have exposed it over here. We didn't bother to particularly do anything about it.
Well, I'm ashamed that I don't know about it. That's all I can say. I'm a parent of two adopted children. And I'm ashamed that I don't know about this kind of thing.
It's a story that's been going on in the area I'm in the Midlands here. It's been going on for the last 15 years. And, you know, the filming, the covert operations that have been carried out about the people who committed these kind of atrocities around here are phenomenal. And good on the people who have the guts to do it. And good on Fergie for having the guts to do it.
Can I cite the Stephen Lawrenson case recently? Yeah. Where if it wasn't for covert filming, the guys that are now in jail wouldn't be in jail.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, partly wouldn't be in jail. Yeah, certainly yes. The case, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there are some times, and as much as I'm the person that screams privacy more than anybody else, having had my privacy completely busted at times, I think I've got the right to say, hang on a minute, there are times when different regimes around the world do things that are completely unacceptable within their own religion as well. I'm not suggesting it's a religious thing. And I'm also saying that there are times when this kind of thing needs to be exposed, because if there are circumstances like this in a country and they're about to try and join, say, the EU or some other organisation, we should know about it.
Absolutely, of course we should.
Yeah.
Of course we should. This is a kind of whistleblowing, and it ought to be congratulated wherever it is.
Absolutely.
And the fact that the news story just an example, I'd be sitting on a news desk now, and if that story came in, Fergie faces 22 years in jail for covert filming, I would look at that and think, that's a good story, and I would give it the prominence I thought it deserved. But in fact, in the back of my mind, I would be thinking, well, that's just some freelance journalist out in Turkey who's been looking through the statute books and says, God, she could get 22 years for this, and put it out to make himself a few quid. Yeah. She ain't going to get 22 years. She's not even going to end up in court for it, because there's nothing wrong in what she did.
And she won't go back to Turkey anyway.
Well, you can, yeah, right, yes.
Right, exactly. Gentlemen, let's move on to the financial roundup this week, because we haven't got a lot of time left. I don't know whether to believe this story or not. Perhaps I'm a cynical old git. If I am, I apologise profusely to all the companies concerned, but I just don't see this happening. Apparently, heating bills in the United Kingdom are to come down for the summer, and there's a huge list of energy companies that apparently are going to be decreasing profits for themselves and giving the money back to the consumer.
What a load of rubbish. Sorry, Mark, you continue.
All of these companies have just put up their prices just last year by typically 18 and 15%. So now they're bringing it down 5%. And when are they bringing it down? The winter? No, the summer.
Let's
see what happens by next winter. Let's see if it goes back up again.
Well, exactly.
So they've taken 15% off us and they've given us 5% back, so that means they've kept 10%, yeah.
And there's one other thing, gentlemen. Of course, that will now stop the investigation into their profits that's currently be going on, because they'll have to revisit all the numbers again.
absolutely. And of course, you know, 5%, I mean, what does that actually mean? Does that mean your annual bill? It doesn't mean your annual bill. It means just for that period of the summer, it's going down. But your actual bill will be going down a lot less than that, because you only use a fraction during the summer. This is the lie trade. I mean, these people are professional liars. They don't like it. They know where I am. Come and sue me.
Yes. Well, Sainsbury's
come up and sue me sometime.
Sainsbury's produced better than average results by their figures going up 2% in the period up until Christmas, and yet good old Tesco's are all over Europe, including wonderful Tesco's in Poprad, who are a beautiful shop these days, because I can buy crumpets and brown toasty bread.
So how much do you pay for your crumpets? I have to get them sent from England.
No, I buy the... they're about €1 for a pack of six.
How much is that? That's twice as much as they are in Britain.
Yeah.
Well, I'll send them you for 60p, Mark.
Well, I tell you, I can actually get them here in Paris, but I spend about €2.50 for six, plus €2 for a tin of beans.
€2?
Yes.
No, don't pay that.
Point something or other. No, I have them all sent over from England.
No.
Go on.
We now have proper English brown toasty bread, which is a new line, and you can have proper white English bread.
Yuck.
Crumpets. You can have Heinz baked beans and all sorts in our Tesco's. But anyway, Tesco's has gone down by about... crikey. Down by how much, Lee?
It's a phenomenal amount. £4.5 billion in it or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. I'd say, while you're talking about your comestible proclivities and things like that, I'd just like to say that I bought some mince pies for Christmas, right from Tesco. And it said on the front, which was a bit facile, really. It just said on the front, ideal for Christmas Day. Then it said on the box, best before November the 21st.
Boom. Excellent.
Well, as they put in their headline or their answer, we got it wrong, they said. I'm not so sure it isn't the case where some of these big stores aren't getting it wrong, because they've been, you know, I can't, somebody tell me this because I don't get it. How can you keep this perpetual growth going in shops?
You can't. That's the problem. I live, as people know where I live, I live outside of a market town called Newport. And I genuinely think it only has about 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 residents. That's all.
Yep.
It has two major supermarkets. It has a Safeways and it has another one, Sainsbury's. Mm. Right? It was just announced today that a third one, I can't remember which one it is now going to open up in the town. Now, isn't that really just dog-eating dog that they're going to start selling? We do not have endless pockets in Britain anymore, and the supermarkets should be the first people to really catch on to that, because we don't have the money to spend with them.
I think they should forget thinking that the US and UK are the same. It's the same problem everywhere. You know, people go, oh, they've got all this radio in America. Yes, look how many people there are in America. It's not the same in other parts of the world.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And the bloke, the new boss at Tesco, said that basically what they'd done, they got it wrong by cutting the prices, by doing their price drop campaign, which in fact flew against in the face of all the other campaigns, which were vouchers, money off vouchers. Now, why would people? This is where I start to doubt the mentality of the British public. Why would you have a penny off voucher and ignore something where everything's just cheaper? I don't think Tesco's made a mistake here. I think the British people made a mistake, because they've lost whole sense of what goes on.
And I think we're also lazy as well. I can say this from, it's just so funny because it happens here as well. Since Tesco's came here, they introduced things like the Tesco Club Card. Martina jumped on that like a ton of bricks. She was in there like a rocket. Signed up, got a card. First time we went through the checkout, she's going, look, I've got €2. Then I've got €4, and I've got €6. And she says, if they want to give me the money, good on them, I'll take it. Me?
But wouldn't it be better if it just comes out? Well, yeah, exactly. I know what you're going to say.
Me? She gives me a club card. I kept it for about 2 minutes and I've lost it. I'm just not interested. Can't be doing with it. But, you know, this is the same mentality in the UK. We don't look at the value for money you get from a shop. We just assume that something's going to be better there, so we go there. We end up buying all the expensive stuff because it's cheaper in the other shop, but we don't realise that's stupid.
Why don't we just buy food and make our own instead of buying ready meals and things that are pre-packed and stuff like that? Why don't we actually go and do something proper? Why don't we get back to old-fashioned values like we were talking about coal fires? Why don't we
sauerkraut? Cook food?
Sauerkraut. No, I can't
don't
stand.
Want to upset any Germans.
I've been making kimchi. Fantastic. Korean sauerkraut. Smells disgusting. Looks disgusting. By goodness, it's delicious.
Yes, and Martina still makes it every year. Goes to the family home, really? Puts her feet in the barrels because her feet are small enough to fit in and nobody else's. And she
only little barrels.
They are very little barrels as it goes. And she squashes all the... Oh, God, it smells awful.
Do you lick her feet afterwards?
No, I wouldn't go and just have a bath before I go anywhere near her. I hate it with a passion.
It's horrible. I've never had it, amazingly, until I came to Paris. I think it must be sort of some leftover legacy from the Second World War.
I don't know.
Now, you don't have any meat in it. You don't have a leg in it.
You do have meat in it.
No, you eat sauerkraut, do you?
Yeah, the way that you serve up a dish of sauerkraut is absolutely...
Oh, delicious. Of course, you're quite right, yeah.
What you do is you get a nice big, you know, sort of oven dish, and you fill it full of sauerkraut, lace it with white wine and this sort of thing, and then you put some smoked meats in it, you put some smoked ham in it, you put some sausage in it, what have you, some potatoes, and then you leave it in there for about an hour or two, and you take it out. It is fantastic.
See how it always tries to explain away my joke.
Exactly. We've got to go there. We've got to leave it there, boys and girls. But I will say very quickly before I go, even if you're not in the UK, keep up with some excellent reports from the gadget show in America going on at the moment on Martin Stanford's blog on Sky News. Amazing new technology coming out and some amazing applications being added to your mobile phones. And guess what? You're never going to believe this, guys.
I will.
The technology is coming from Britain.
No!
Yes!
It'll break down!
Augmented reality stuff, all being designed and shown off in the US by Brits. I compliment you on all of that. Please don't go to America afterwards, because that's not fair. But it's all on Martin Stanford's blog. It's absolutely fantastic. And if you are within the satellite range, you can actually watch Martin every Friday night doing his brilliant technology show, which I'm sure will carry on coming from reports from Las Vegas for quite a few weeks yet. With that, we've got to take our leave, boys and girls. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Lee.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mark, a little bit louder.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.